Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you once again to the Breakthrough Broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, and we would like to welcome our radio broadcasting audience to this broadcast so you can be blessed, that you can receive of God, that God can fill you even more, that you'll you will be enlightened with God's word, and that you will be able to increase more and more in wisdom and knowledge and understanding of his word. Today, we're excited about the word of God. The word of God said, instead, should I self-approve unto God? A word of God need not be ashamed to write and divide the word of truth. The word of God said, we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Our topic for the day here on the Breakthrough Broadcast will be the superiority of the new covenant. We're going to be coming and studying today from the book of Hebrews. So if you have your Bibles ready and you have your Bibles beside you, if you don't have one, why don't you just go ahead and get it, because we're getting ready to go and we're into God's word. And we want you to know today that you will not regret for you giving this hour and the Breakthrough Broadcast to God, that you can know and learn more and more of him. Well, we're getting ready right now to go before the throne of grace. And wherever you may be, if you can, why don't you just reverence the Most High God? Because wherever he is, I pray, God, even now, that he is with you. The word of God says he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So you got to know that God is with you, and God is here to make the difference in your life. Yes, in your life, God wants to make the difference. No matter who you may be, no matter what culture or color you may be, God is in love with you. Whether you are male or female, or whether you are a teenager, in your puberty area, or whatever, I want you to know that God is in love with you. So let's go together before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify your name. We thank you to God for all that you have done and all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. Lord, we thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word, how we hid in our heart that we would not sin against thee. Father, in the name of Jesus, God bless your people like never before. God, today, God, increase them in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. God, today, God, give them revelation of your word, Lord God. Father, give them that greater love for you like never before. Cause them, God, to sponge up, Father God, your word, Lord God, even as it is given, God, by the women of God. Lord, I ask you, God, to do it even now. Cause them, God, to be bold and cause them, God, to be courageous in their walk with you from this day forward. And Lord, if there's any sick, Father God, among us, Lord, even as this broadcast goes forth, God, I pray, God, that supernatural healing power, God, will be demonstrated. God, that they have testimony. God, that they was healed. God, as the women of God came forth, Father God, with the word of God unto day. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord God. Move our worry, God, all sadness, all stress, all anxiety. God, I decree, God, that it be done today in the name of Jesus. And for this, I will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Yes, we're on the air, and we want you to call a neighbor, call a friend, tell them that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on again and that they do not want to miss it. I would like to take this privilege as well as the opportunity to introduce you to our Breakthrough panel. They are as following: Ms. Helen Cooper, Pastor Geraldine Spencer, Pastor Gladys Sampson, Pastor Mary Wilson, and yours truly, Reverend Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. I want you to know today that God is in control. God is here to make the difference for you on today. Our topic today here on the Breakthrough Broadcast will be superiority of the new covenant. And we have three subtopics that we want to embrace, that we want you to be able to be blessed, the Lord, with today. And they are the need for the new covenant. And that's going to be found in Hebrews, the 8th chapter. And the next topic will be establishment of the new covenant. Same book, the book of Hebrews. But that will be coming from that 9th chapter. And the last one is the basis of the new covenant. And all of it today will be coming from the book of Hebrews. You know, I don't know about you, but I just love and enjoy reading the book of Hebrews. Our key verse today is, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that was under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of the inheritance. That is our KJV version. But the NIV is, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sin committed under the first covenant. We're getting ready to go to our first panelist today. We would like to welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast, Ms. Helen Cooper.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and praise God for the Breakthrough panelists and for our Breakthrough family and for the listening audience. And I will be coming from Hebrews, the 8th chapter, 7 through 13. It reads as, verse 7 says, for it, that first covenant had been flawless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, which I will make a new covenant. And which I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be with them a God, and they will be with me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, for the least one to the greatest. For I'll be merciful for their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that, he says, a new covenant he has made for the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. And coming from the eighth chapter of Hebrews, starting at the 7th verse, we were talking about the need for a new covenant. And to start off, to make you understand the need for a new covenant, the problem was the Israelites and their hearts. Their hearts were hardened, and God was telling them there's a need for a new covenant because of their hearts and because of what they did. They did not go by the first covenant. They broke the first covenant with him, so there was a need for a new covenant. They had hard hearts. It was their hearts. And their thinking and their attitude, and they did not obey God and fulfill the part in their relationship with him. He was fulfilling his part. He was being faithful to them. He was leading and he was guiding, but they were not faithful to him. Like over in Jeremiah, the 11th chapter and down at the 8th verse, he was saying they were hard-hearted. They were stubborn. And, you know, they had a proud heart, so they were basically doing what they wanted to do. Even though God brought them out of Egypt, he brought them out with a strong hand. He came in and he sent Moses to deliver them out of that bondage, out of that slavery, but they broke the covenant with him because they got where they were not even paying any attention to God and what what he was doing. He told them, you know, if you abide by my commandments, you know, if you obey me and do whatever I command you to do, this is over in, if you read over in Jeremiah, the 11th chapter, he was telling them then, you know, he was going to do everything that he was supposed to do for them. They would be his children, and he would be their God, and he would give them the land flowing with milk and honey. But they went off into their own, and they started doing things on their own. So there was a need for a new covenant, and that's what we're talking about today. And they were just so hard-hearted. So God had to do something different. He had to bring his people back in line. So that was the need for the new covenant. So this is what we are seeing today. Even over in Ezekiel, where he was talking about them being Ezekiel, I think it's the 36th chapter, up at the 26th verse, and he was saying he will give them hearts. You know, he will give them the hearts with the right desires, because he had to do that, because they did not have the right desires. They did not have his spirit, so he had to give them his spirit. You know, when when God gives you his spirit, you know, it leads and it guides. He said he was going to give them the right spirit in their hearts and the right desires, and put in a new spirit, you know, and take off that old stony heart that they had, that they were going off and doing things on their own. So God had to give them new hearts, and he had to give them, put his spirit into them, so they would obey the law. Because if you don't, you know, if you don't have God's spirit, I mean, you're operating in the carnal, that means it is not subject, you know, to God's law and to his covenant. The carnal has nothing to do, you know, with what God wants. It just wants what it wants, because you're in flesh and you're not in spirit. So he was going to put a new spirit into them, so the people would follow him and they would do what was right and they would get it right this time. So there was a need for a new covenant. And that's what he was telling. He said he was going to put his spirit in them so they obey the law and do whatever he commanded, because they had got off on the wrong track. They were absolutely doing whatever they wanted to do. And a point that I did want to make is that, you know, God did not find any fault in his law in the terms of the old covenant. The fault was with the people and the rebellious thinking of the people. So God, so he had to do this. He had to make a new covenant. So that's what it was an integral part, you know, of the new covenant. There was no fault in his law, and he didn't come. He didn't send our Savior Jesus Christ to even change that. We needed a new covenant. We needed to be saved. We needed to get to the throne of God. We needed to get to heaven. So he had to get a new covenant. He had to bring a new covenant, because the old covenant with the father, with the old fathers, the forefathers of these people, they just ran off and did whatever they wanted to do. They stopped listening to God. Their hearts were hardened. They didn't want to do what God would have them to do. So he had to bring on a new covenant. He had to do something new. They were just self-centered. They were rebellious people. So he had to do something totally different to get them back in line. And this is what we're seeing here. We're seeing that God has he wanted to do something new in the new covenant. And over, we see in Jeremiah, when I was studying in Jeremiah 31, over there we see that, you know, he was saying this is a new covenant. The commitment he had toward his people, you know, to give his people, you know, the spirit to obey and to give his people what he had promised them, what he had promised Abraham way back, what he had promised Abraham, there had to be a new covenant, because he wanted to bless them. He wanted to give them what he said. God cannot lie. Whatever he said, his word stands forever. He cannot lie. So if you have done something to get yourself thrown off, like people get prophecies all the time and they expect things just to go the way they're supposed to go. If you don't do what you're supposed to do concerning God and concerning his promises and concerning what he told you to do, God cannot lie. You might have messed that up somewhere along the line. It is not his fault. You have to get in line. Just like we see here, they were disobedient. They were hard-hearted. They were rebellious. So God had to bring them back in line, get his people set up for the promises that he had made. He cannot lie. His word would not fall to the ground. So here we see him making a new covenant with the Israelites and with Israel. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Hooper, for just giving us a great insight of what God is saying to his people today, because it's so much revelation. There's so much word in there that we can just be able to zone in on. You know, we should want a new heart. We should not want to walk in our own righteousness. We should not want to do our own thing. We God knew that the people, they had poor, committed themselves to things that was not of God, that their heart wasn't right with them, that when your heart is not right, your spirit is not right with you. They had the wrong desire, you know, and they, as Ms. Cooper said, they walked in carnality. How many people of God today is walking in carnality? They're not walking in the spirit, but they're walking in carnality. They're walking in the flesh. And see, we don't want to walk in the flesh. We have to walk in the spirit. And by reading God's word, by getting closer to Him, by studying God's word, that's going to cause us not to be able to go off the pathway of righteousness. God, when you lead us and guide us, and if God will lead us and guide us, if God will give us His word, and which He has, then it's up to us to be able to follow Him. It's up to us to be able to walk that pathway of righteousness. We can't be like some examples of people that we have seen in the Word of God, and they were people of God. They chosen people of God. When you think about Saul, you know, he was God had appointed him and caused him to be king, but yet he was disobedient to God. He went and did things that God asked him not to do. God given him, just like He gave man the covenant, gives him them to do what His words say according to the Word of God. But sometimes I just got to say that sometimes we just mess up. And we mess up because we are not living up to the standard of God's word. And it's no deviation when we get when it comes to God's word. And I know sometimes that when you're walking in the flesh, you know, it's so easy to do that. But thank God that we have a God that will forgive us for our sin and transgression. When we see that we are not just like the Israelites, many times they got off, many times they got off the course of righteousness. I don't know what you may be doing today, but come on, let's get it right. Let's walk according to God's word. Let's walk according to the agreement that God has agreed with us. He said He's going to walk with us. God said He's going to talk to us. And because He loves us, and that we can be able to respond by living and by doing all that God has called us to do. And again, we thank Ms. Helen Hooper for giving us the word in season, giving us the word from God on today that came from Hebrews, the 8th chapter, a need for the new covenant. At this time, we're getting ready to hear from Pastor Joel D. Spencer. She's going to talk about establishment of the new covenant. Pastor Spencer.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. McCoy, to the Breakthrough broadcast and to the Breakthrough panel. Amen. And I'm going to be reading Hebrews 9, the 9th chapter, verses 11 through 15, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And this is on the establishment of the new covenant. And it says, "But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Verse 15, "And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Thank you, Lord. And here we see that the writer here is just letting us know of Hebrews how, in other words, that Jesus Christ came from God. He did not come, amen, like man did. He came, and we know how Jesus came, that he came from the Father, amen, and was, amen, placed in Mary, amen, a virgin, and was born, and for that he became the perfect sacrifice. He was one also without spot and without sin, but he became sin that we might be set free and have eternal life through his blood shed. And when it was saying here in the verse 13, for the if the blood of the bulls and of the goats and of the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. Okay, that was done in the Old Testament. In other words, the purifying of the flesh. But God was, in other words, wanted to say he wanted to, amen, get his word in us that, amen, that we would have no excuse. So he had to send his son, and he had to let his son be the perfect sacrifice because he knew no sin, but he became sin for us to take away, amen, that through his blood. And him being the mediator is letting us know that, you know, it's only through the blood of Christ, and that he went into that holy place because he was without sin and he was perfect. He was able to go into that holy place, amen, and to, amen, grab all of that is needed for us, and then he became the mediator. So he's our way to the Father, and it is only through him that we are able, amen, to have eternal life, amen. And we have to realize and understand that he did it for us, and, you know, we no longer have to be in bondage to sin. We no longer have to say that, make up excuses. Well, you know, I'm in sin because of, you know, my brother, my pastor. No, you don't have an excuse. Christ has paid the price. Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price, so we no longer have an excuse. Only thing God says is that, in other words, he wants us to have a willing mind, and we have to make a choice, and we have to make a decision that, do I want to stay in the situation and stay in, amen, the sins. But Christ, he has paid the price. And I like how it says here, it says the establishment of the new covenant. And establishment means the act to put in a condition that is not easily changed. It's settled, it's fixed. And when Jesus was up on the cross, and the last thing that he said, it is finished. It is done. In other words, you don't have to, amen, stay in that situation. You don't have to be looking for man to go to and to sacrifice an animal and find an animal without blemish to sacrifice for your sins. It's done. And when he rent the veil, that was where he went in, into the holy place. He went into the holy place, amen, and everything, amen. He went in and obtained everything, amen, that is needed, that we no longer have an excuse, and he is the mediator. And then I also, when it says about conscience, and conscience says, the definition for conscience is that you have the a sense of right and wrong, and I'm reading from the Webster, feelings that keep one from doing bad things. So, you know, we have, in other words, the sense of right and wrong. And when he said in verse 14, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. In other words, you dead works means, in other words, stuff that you're doing, stuff that you are trying to put God's name on, but God ain't called you to do that and to do that and thinking it's going to bring about salvation and going to save you. But it's not. It's not. He said, purge yourself from that, amen, and go to serving the true and living God. And to serve the true and living God, that's where you become, where he says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, my brothers, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord by your reasonable measure. So in other words, to come and be a living sacrifice, and a living sacrifice means that you're willing and ready to do his will, to do his will and to be his servant. Amen. And so God is just letting us know that Jesus has already taken care of all this, the sins and everything, that we don't have to stay there. Because the word of God all say, who the Son set free is free indeed. So we just have to make a choice. We just have to make a made-up mind that I'm going to choose to live for God. I'm going to choose to serve him because he's already paid the price. He's already, amen, went to Calvary. He's already taken away, amen, the sin. And just to let you know that Jesus said that he didn't come to take away the law, but he came to fulfill it, and to fulfill the law was to fulfill, in other words, where you don't have to do sacrifice. The priests don't have to do sacrifices, killing of animals and blood and all that, and going in for us, that Jesus Christ, he is the mediator. He is the one that is our eternal, amen, inheritance unto the Father. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Spencer. We thank God that God, because he is our mediator. And we thank God that he is and was that perfect sacrifice for man, for us. Christ died on the cross that we could have a right to the tree of life. For the word that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We no longer need the priest. We don't need people going in before. Yes, we thank God for the men of God and the women of God that's able to pray. But then God has given us that covenant, given us that word in agreement that we can go before him boldly before the throne of grace. Yes, we can go boldly. We have to ask ourselves, are we taking an opportunity to go boldly before the throne of grace? Are we doing all that God have commanded us to do? I thank God today that a bull or a goat or a lamb or anything like that, that it don't have to be killed for my sin. That perfect sacrifice, that new covenant that God made, that he will walk in us and he will walk in us. I thank God today that the Almighty God is able to walk in his people, to walk in his believers. And that is also contained to you. I don't know who you are today, but if you're a believer in Christ, God is walking in you and can walk in you even more. If you don't know him, Christ want to be able to walk in you even in a perfect way. So we thank God for the word of God, and we talk about the basis of the new covenant. We don't have a covenant. It's an agreement that God has made with his people. And I thank God for his superiority of the covenant. It's better than any lamb, anything that was offered for the sins of the people. And as you read that, you see how men and the priests tried to make the sacrifice, but they had to make sure they were clean and they were free from sin in order to offer the sacrifice, because if they didn't, they would die trying to do so for our sin and for theirs as well. So I thank God today that God has given us a great, a superior covenant, and he is that covenant. He is that one that have done a new thing within us. I like what the word of God said when Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ that lives within me. We don't have to live in the same old. All we have to do is believe the word of God. We don't have to do it our way. We can do it God's way. We don't have to put that weight on us and trying to do it our way. We don't have to depend on other people to do what God has already ordained and called us to do. All we got to do is to read the word of God ourselves. When we assemble ourselves in the sanctuaries and our church, wherever we're going for spiritual nourishment and encouragement of the word, we can find ourselves growing and growing and increasing and increasing in the Word of God. So listen, you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Tell them that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. I am your host, Dr. Mary McCoy, and our panelists are here today to give you insight of the Word of God, to bring enrichment to your life. You don't have to be the same. Come on, let's hear the Word of God. Let's get something that's a permanent and something that's not temporary. We're getting ready to go to our next panelist. We want to thank our Heavenly Father for the woman of God who is about to come forth on today. We thank God for Pastor Gladys Sampson. She is getting ready to bless us with the Word of God, and her topic will be the basis of the new covenant. Pastor Sampson.
Praise God. Father, we thank you today for this song that you have given to us in your word, and we ask you, God, to continue to bless us. And we do thank God, praise God, that you, that Lord, that you've given us revelation and understanding concerning that which, praise God, is good for us, that we may teach the people of God as they hear us today. We ask you, Lord, to bless the people that are listening, and we ask you, God, to bless our panel and Dr. McCoy in Jesus' name. So we're going to the basis of a new covenant, and that's going to be found in Hebrews 9:16 through the 28 verses. But we're going to take 9 and 16 and 17. And the writer states today that the writer of the Hebrews emphasized that the very concept of a New Testament or covenant requires the death of one who establishes it. In Hebrews 9:16-17, until the testator dies, the testament does not go into effect. Under the old covenant, the sacrificial death of many animals was required so the blood could be used to prepare all the parts of the tabernacle for worship and sanctify the people before God. So we find, praise the Lord, that only, praise God, the New Testament, praise God, came into being after the testator, which was Jesus Christ himself. He came to die, to seek and save that which was lost, and for that reason, praise God, the blood of Jesus, amen, hallelujah, brought in the basis of the new covenant. Now that's from Hebrews 9:16-17, he said, for where the testator is, there must also be the necessity of the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator living. And so in looking and hearing the word of God, as the women of God were, praise God, bringing forth today, I begin to jot down some things because the Holy Spirit, praise God, he said he teaches that the Old Testament impeded access to the presence of God was not yet possible because close communion with him could exist only when a person inward conscious had been cleansed perfectly. This cleansing was provided for when Christ died as an eternal sacrifice for sin. Amen. This, praise God, cleansing could only come, as I've heard other, praise God, ministering today concerning, praise God, the blood of the goats and the bulls and all those, praise God, things that took place, praise God, on a year-to-year basis, on an annual basis, praise God, in order that the sins of many could be covered, the people could be forgiven. But we look, praise God, at this today, and he said that the only way, praise God, in this time, praise God, there would be no more bulls and goats and doves and all this. There would be no more of that given, praise God, because now that Jesus has come, he is that perfect sacrifice that entered into the Holy of Holies once, just once, amen, was he going in, praise God, to pay the debt, amen, concerning the sins of the whole world. And so, praise God, today when we look at it, praise God, concerning, praise God, the basis of that, hallelujah, we understand, praise God, that Jesus, praise God, had to come in order that we could, praise God, receive eternal life as well. Praise God, he gave himself as a ransom, praise God, on our behalf. And so it finally, the right also said, the saving, reconciling, or purifying power of the blood of Christ is continually appropriated to the believer as he draws near to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so as we draw near to God, hallelujah, day after day, we are cleansed through the washing of the word of God. And I'm just blessed today, man. Praise God. As God opens up the word, praise God, even the more, from everyone that has spoken, glory to God, and have brought forth, hallelujah, praise God, their thoughts, hallelujah, concerning, hallelujah, that what God had done for us. Praise God, hallelujah. Even from the Old Testament, hallelujah, the New Covenant, amen, God done a great work. He was looking out, praise God, for us, because he knows that the old was just not going to be enough. It was not going to be enough. So he had to, praise God, bring his son, amen, which was a pure, praise God, bloodline. There was no contamination in that bloodline, hallelujah. And so because of who Jesus was, praise God, he paid the price, hallelujah, of giving his life that we might have life. And so when I look at this, praise God, he said the blood satisfies the people of God. And his blood opens the way for believers to come directly before God through Christ in order to find grace, mercy, help, and salvation. Oh, God, the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus that washes us, that cleanses us, that makes us whole, hallelujah, praise God, that sanctifies us, glory to God, as we praise God, hallelujah, praise God, kneel before God, hallelujah, and commit our hearts and our lives unto him. Praise God, the blood of Jesus, praise God, the power of his blood cleanses us and makes us whole. And he died not only just for the believers, but he died for the sins of the whole world. And for that reason, you have the opportunity today, praise God, hallelujah, that if you're not saved, praise God, he loved you so much that he died for you, praise God, while you are yet a sinner. And so for that reason, glory to God, you, the door is open for you to come. Praise God, come unto him, all ye that labor and heavy laden. And we thank God, praise God, for these scriptures, amen, because the blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is a central truth of the New Testament. Glory to God, hallelujah, on a concept of his redemption, amen. And the basis of it all, hallelujah, is to let us know, praise God, hallelujah, that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, he made that ultimate sacrifice that we might have life through him, praise God. And if we can believe on him, hallelujah, the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, we can be saved and be redeemed and forgiven for our sins. Praise God, hallelujah. So every day of our life, as we draw near and we draw closer to him, praise God, he's, praise God, cleansing us, praise God, through his word. Because as we read the word of God purifies our spirit. It purifies our mind. It gives us, praise God, clean thoughts. Amen. Praise God, because that inner person, hallelujah, as we commune with him, praise God, we, praise God, are cleansed inwardly. Our conscience are cleansed. Amen, hallelujah, and it's only done through the perfect blood of Jesus. So I'm so thankful, hallelujah, today, praise God, to be on the Lord's side. I'm so glad today that God has given us the opportunity, we the panel of breakthrough, praise God, to come to your, praise God, hallelujah, hearing today, and to tell you that the door is open, the door is still open to them that are not saved, the door is still open to us that are saved, the cleansing is still taking place. God is still washing us with his word, and he's purging us through his blood. Amen. And today Jesus paid it all. He paid a debt that no man, hallelujah, could pay. Amen. He walked, praise God, the dusty road that man could not walk in his footsteps. But we thank God today that Jesus has made it possible that we are forgiven. Amen. And we are loved. And I thank God for this word today. I thank God, hallelujah, that he reconciled me through his blood to him. Amen. Washed my spirit and gave me a desire to live a holy life. So I honor him today, and I honor the women of God. I honor Dr. McCoy for the opportunity. Praise God. And to the radio listening audience today, we pray God's richest blessings be upon you. In Jesus' name, back to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Nasa. We are lovers of God's word. You may have different things that you love, but I'm telling you, it's nothing by loving God, loving his word. I thank God today for that new sacrifice. And he was that new sacrifice. No more bulls, no more goats. That didn't make a difference in our life. That wasn't the superior covenant. That wasn't the superior sacrifice for us. But God, he was. This time, we're getting ready to go to our next panelist. She's going to be taking us deeper and deeper into God's word. We thank God for God just doing great things, and he just manifesting himself on today and every day. So she's going to also speak on from the book of Hebrews, that ninth chapter. She's going to talk about the basis of the new covenant. We would like to thank God for Pastor Mary Wilson.
God bless you, Dr. McCoy. God bless all of our listening audience, and God bless the panelists as well. I'm piggybacking off of our last speaker, have the same topic, the basis of the new covenant. We have to understand, I won't read it again, but we have to understand the basis of the new covenant was so that we, God's children, we his people, could have right relationship with him. So when we look at it, everything in the old pointed to Jesus Christ, everything. And when we look at it, because the word says that God, Jesus, he didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. So when you look at everything in the Old Testament in its purest form, you still see it in Christ, and you still see it today in a manner. When you look at it, they had the blood offerings. The only thing is, it was temporary. It required another sacrificial offering for sin. But then when you look at Jesus Christ, a permanent sacrifice, there had to be a shedding of blood. Both had a shedding of blood, but now the order is permanent. We don't have to continue to kill the animals for our sin, because Jesus, the Lamb of God, took away the sins of the world. And then we can look at the separation. When you look at the Old Testament, the people were not supposed to mix with other people because they were serving other gods. In our terms today, that's holiness. We have to be separated from the world. We're in this world, but we're not supposed to be of this world. So the old, it is a teacher of what we're supposed to be doing. Even when you look at the law, it taught us righteousness. It taught us not to compromise. It taught us obedience. So there are things, a lot of people, we're not under the old. The old and the new, they come together. Christ came to fulfill it, not to do away with it. So many of us, we cannot find, a lot of churches today, we cannot find the balance between the two. So we look at the old and we say, well, we're not under that. But Christ came to fulfill it. So how can you not look and learn from it? Some of us, we get stuck there. We get stuck in tradition, and we get stuck in legalism, and we forget that we were supposed to learn from that. We weren't supposed to just stay there. The basis of the new covenant was so that it was everlasting. The old was a teacher to us. The little Levitical laws, they had to live by that. And so just like then, there are things that we're supposed to live by, that we're not supposed to be living and unholy. There are certain things, even today, you've got to live by the law of the land. There's no way of getting around it. And if you don't, there's going to be a consequence that you have to pay eventually. So when we look at it, we're supposed to learn from it. And so many of us get lost in it. And then Jesus, in his purest form, I love it, because when he died, it talked about in the scripture, it talked about the testator and the testament. Speaking of a will is what it's relating to.
and there had to be a death in order for man to receive their inheritance, which is eternal life, and when we pass. But then there's an inheritance that I speak on that we're due on right now as we're living. There are things that when Christ died that was released to man. There was an inheritance that was due to us. We received the everlasting life portion if we choose to live right, if we choose to give our life to Christ, then we receive that portion. But there's a portion on earth today that we should be receiving as well. So when we look at the covenant in its purest form, it was so that man could be in right relationship with the Father. And I think God, I know that God, and Dr. McCoy just said it, how we love God, but how much more does the Father love us that he would sacrifice for us and he would make atonement for our sins so that we could come into the Holy of Holies and he not even see us, but he sees the blood of his Son applied over us. So when we go into the sanctuary with hands lifted up and our mouths praising God, the blood of the Lamb is what has been applied to us. So now the portion of heaven has been released to the earth realm so that when heaven sees us, it sees a portion of itself applied to us. Because we have to understand, holiness is the only way we can worship with a pure heart, with clean hands. So that is so important, the blood being applied to the sons and the daughters. That is the basis for the new covenant. So that when God looks from the heavens, when he sees down on us, he doesn't see us. He sees a portion of himself that was released to redeem us back to the Father. And like I said last week, and like I continue to say, now that all of that has been done for us, we've got to live like it has been released. We are living in such a horrible time. When we look at the times, when we look at the signs, the earth, when we look at everything going on, you know, I turn on the news today and someone just lost their life, and that is so continual, and we see it over and over. But I believe if the people of God would travail and cry out to God and evangelize and offer up and let people know about the covenant, we would see a change. So the basis of the new covenant wasn't just for us, the sons and daughters of God, to worship, to speak in tongues, to just enjoy church. It was to take it, it is to take it in its purest form to the unsaved so that men and women lives could be transformed and so that people would have an experience with God that would change their lives forever. So we've got to take it outside of our, we love to do it inside of our walls, but it's time to do so much greater. The earth, I said before, it's yearning, it's groaning for the sons and daughters of God to wake up. But now we've got to wake up and do the part that God is calling us to. Evangelism in this time is so key. Now that we know about the covenant, it's time to take it to other people and offer it unto them. They need it. We're living in a world that is turning their backs to God. When we look at the old, it was just like that. And when we look at Genesis and we look at Exodus, they did the same thing. The people of God chose to turn their backs on God. And now we, the people of God, we've got to offer the beautiful sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When we look at, I was driving today, when I look, we see all these other religions outdoing what they're supposed to do. They're out witnessing, and even though their theology may not be on point, they're outdoing what Christians should be doing. So we've got to get out on the streets. We've got to evangelize. We've got to take the covenant to the streets so that men and women can know Jesus Christ. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor. We thank God for the woman of God. We thank God for Pastor Wilson, and she allowed God to use her even in a more perfect way. And I believe that through the women of God today that we have heard some good news. You know, we hear so many things that are happening in our day, but we ought to hear some good news. The things that we've heard that is not good, we need to hear the word of God so we can tell somebody the good news. The good news is the word of God. The word of God that he came to seek and to save them that are lost. We are seekers, men and women that love God, boys and girls that love God. We are the ones that's going to make a difference. We're the ones that's going to take this world to the hedges and to the highway. We're the ones that are going to compel men and women, boys and girls to come. And I thank God for the women of God today. I thank God for Pastor Wilson as she came forth today and again reminding us about the base of the new covenant. We thank God for the shedding of blood. And she was saying that both of them required the shedding of blood, the old and the new. That new custom, that old, the new shedding of blood, that blood that only was superior, only that could make a difference, that came from Christ. And the law was not done away with. We thank God it was perfected in us. It showed us and taught us how to live and how to walk right. I thank God for the Ten Commandments. I thank God for the Word of God, because the Ten Commandments tell us, fear that thou shalt not cover, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. You know, tell us about adultery and all of these things, all the things that God, he manifested even in a more perfect way. So if you listen to us today, I want you to know that you can be saved. You can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can invite Jesus into your heart. We, as minister of God, we had to invite him into our heart. Those that are saved had to invite him into our heart. Word of God, that whosoever will, I mean, that's for you. I mean, that's for me. Whether or not you were a liar, a cheater, a homeowner, a streetwalker, uneducated, whatever you were and whatever you are, I believe today that this word is for you, that you can be saved. Yes, he did pay the price for you. Word of God saying, John 3:16, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody needs everlasting life. And the only way that you're going to see everlasting life is through the word of God. It's by confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and the word of God said, you shall be saved. You confess it, you believe it, and you live it. And the only way you can live it is by reading the word of God and see what the word of God says. You know, it is our roadmap. It's our way to victory. You know, it will make us a more than a conqueror. If you're going through something today that it seems hopeless, I want you to know today that Jesus Christ, he is that hope of glory. It is not a hopeless situation, no matter what you are going through. Your salvation, you know, you may be saying, Dr. McCoy, you just don't know now. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know where I've been. You know, you may have been in the penitentiary. I've been in jail. You may have been on the street. I don't care. God does not care. He wants to save you. So get ready right now. Just repeat after me. Father, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. Deliver me. Make me free. God, I want to live this life, God, so I can live again. Lord, I see God to make me that new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away and all things become new. You, Lord God, just walk in me and talk in me. Show me your way, God, and I will follow you. I want you to know today, if you pray that prayer with us today, that God have come into your life. Angels in heaven rejoicing right now because you have given your life unto him. We would like to take this opportunity to thank Ms. Helen Cooper, Pastor Geraldine Spencer, Pastor Gladys Sampson, Pastor Mary Wilson, and your host,
yours truly, Dr. Mary McCoy, for being here again with us on the Breakthrough Broadcast. Please join us again at the same time on next Saturday. Peace be with you, and may the blessing of God be with you now and forever.